The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app.
Oh, it's time for saying good Shabbos. Yeah. Wish you a Shabbos that is better than you ever had before. No, no, we wish you good Shabbos. Yeah. Saying good Shabbos, yeah. We'll say good Shabbos cause we've waited all week long. No, no, we wish you good Shabbos, yeah.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Thinman. We've got an awesome show for you today. First of all, the Jewish Hour won an award. We've run the Rakauer Award, which is a national organization awarded by the American Jewish Press Association, an award for excellence in a multimedia story. And we have on the guest today is going to be Ben Cohen of the St. Louis Jewish Light, who's a historian and knows about the American Jewish Publishing Association, and he's going to tell us about all of this stuff and what the significance is. But we're really excited. 18 years on the air, and we got a rockover. Yes! Anyway, what else do we got? It's a cappella still. We've got some dynamite. I searched high and low for this a cappella music. This is really good stuff we got for you. The portion of the week is the portion of Behar. Just Behar this year, because it is a leap year, which is going to be found in the book of Leviticus, an awesome Hasidic story at the end. Stay tuned for that one. Ooh, you know, we stay right to the end, right till 11:59. You're going to want to stay. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Gennady Cairns, the mayor of Kharkov, Ukraine, second largest city in the Ukraine, was shot in the back while jogging. Cairns was taken to Israel, where he was operated on, and is listed in stable condition. Cairns is among the leading Jewish officials in the Ukraine. A young Jewish woman was found murdered in Afula, and police believe she may have been killed by terrorists. Police are looking for the perpetrators in villages outside Migdal Emek. The Israeli security agency arrested a Hamas terror cell in Jerusalem. The terror cell created explosives and planned shooting attacks and detonating explosives at Israeli targets. A terrorist lawyer from East Jerusalem, who had been charged with passing messages to jailed terrorists, committed suicide in his home while under house arrest. The Chabad House of Calgary, Canada, was hit in a graffiti spree that saw swastikas scrawled on several buildings. Three people were arrested in connection to the crime. Police are probing the vandalism as possible hate crimes, like, duh. The British Veterinary Association, like, really, who cares about them? But the British Veterinary Association launched an online petition calling for the end of slaughtering animals without first stunning them, which is done in a kosher slaughter, that we don't stun the animal beforehand, and we do it the most humane way possible. The government petition, launched this week with the support of the RSPCA, is aiming at 100,000 signatures to convince the House of Commons to hold a debate on the subject, which is just another way of saying anti-Semitism. Israel's population increased to nearly 8.2 million, according to annual census figures. The population grew by 10%, about 157 new people living in Israel. Jews make up 75% of the population, 6.2 million. Arabs are 1.7 million. About 178,000 babies were born, while about 42,000 people died, and there were 24,000 immigrants. And finally, a Chumash printed in Bologna, Italy in 1482 sold for a record $3.87 million at auction in Paris. Christie listed the buyer as anonymous. I love that, Mr. Anonymous. He's like all over the place. And said, this is the most expensive Hebrew language book ever sold. The book is printed on vellum and is complete. In excellent condition, they say, except the back page is missing. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. We have online Mr. Bob Cohen. He's the editor emeritus of the St. Louis Jewish Light. We're going to be talking about the American Jewish Press Association. How are you today, Bob?
I am fine, Rabbi. How are you?
Good, thank God. We are doing very well, especially since we won a Rock Award. Yes, this is awesome stuff. This is 18 years we're on air, and we finally got some national recognition. So we're really, really happy about that.
That's 18 for high. It's about time you got a national Rock Hour Award. That's terrific.
Indeed. If we could be tickled pink, we would be tickled pink. Can you tickle pink a radio show? I'm sure you could. But
for
anyway,
sure.
So let's, the significance of all this is, let's talk, what is the American Jewish Press Association?
Well, as the name somewhat implies, it's an organization of the Jewish newspapers and individual journalists and communications organizations in North America, that is the United States and Canada, and has about 150 members all over the country. Most major cities are represented, one or two, by more than one newspaper. And it was set up in 1944, so we're having our 70th anniversary convention this year. And it includes Jewish Federation sponsored newspapers and privately owned newspapers.
Why does there need to be an American Jewish Press Association, Bob?
Well, actually, I think there's a more critical need for it right now than there has been in a number of years, because all media, with perhaps the exception of radio, the venerable radio is still basically not largely challenged by the social media revolution. But, you know, there are many people my son's age and younger, he's 44, get all of their news online. So we're in that transitional phase between print media and electronic media and somewhere in between. And it helps to have a national organization where people who are in the same industry can get together, just like there's the various rabbinical organizations. Nobody understands the mishigas that an editor of a Jewish newspaper goes through than another editor of another Jewish newspaper.
It kind of reminds me, or maybe I'm off base, but there used to exist, and it exists in St. Louis, for example, you have like a Jewish hospital. And the reason why these hospitals were created was because of anti-Semitism and the good old boys' network, which is excluding Jewish doctors. Was that present back in the 40s when this was started, and hence the need for a special Jewish press organization, Bob?
Well, it was certainly, you know, 1944, we were already in World War II, and our country was at war with Hitler's Nazis, the Mussolini's fascists, and the Japanese imperial government. So anti-Semitism, for example, in St. Louis was rampant. We had a group called the American Bund, the German-American Bund, that used to march in one of our large public parks carrying swastika flags and giving the Nazi salute.
Yeah, so we had the Dearborn Independent and Father Coughlin over here in Detroit, yes.
Absolutely. Father Coughlin had great influence in St. Louis, and so did the Protestant minister Gerald L. K. Smith. As a matter of fact, our Jewish Community Relations Council just noted its 75th anniversary, and certainly anti-Semitism was a factor. But I think the general idea was, let's get together and exchange ideas, and let's come together on various things that affect the industry, quote unquote, of the Jewish press.
Okay, so how's it been working for the last 70 years?
Well, I think it works quite well, because we at our annual conference, we've had We've been in the White House three or four times, received by President Carter, President Ford, during President Nixon's term and President Johnson's term. We've had access. We've had cabinet members who have come to our national convention. And, of course, it's a great way for example, your program could actually become a member, because we have electronic media who are members of the Jewish Press Association as well. And if a publication has already switched into a new kind of technology, they can help the papers who are a little bit behind the times and exchange various ideas. We have workshops on how to improve our writing ability. And I think the creation of the Simon Rockauer Awards way back in the 1980s, sometimes they're called, pardon the expression, the Julitzer Prizes, because of the highest award conferred by the Jewish press. And these are juried by outside journalists and professors of journalism. So it's designed to enhance the reputation of the Jewish press. We also have a strong code of ethics that if anybody sets up an advertising scam in a community and inflates their circulation figures, we have I happen to be the co-chair of the ethics committee with Deborah Rubin in New Jersey, and we police our professional standards very carefully.
Okay, so the organization, is it a governing body, perchance?
Well, if you join the organization, you agree to abide by the bylaws and the code of ethics, which are included in our bylaws. And let's say somebody is engaging in an activity that might be illegal, for example, claiming to have a circulation of 50,000, when in reality they may not have a circulation above 1,500. And or let's say that they try to solicit advertising in geographic territories very far removed from their base of operation. Those are also, they'll use an article from one publication without checking with the editor or publisher to get permission to reprint it. And so there's a procedure that exists that somebody can file a complaint, and we'll look into it. And we try to resolve things amicably. Or let's say some journalist wrote a nice article that was published in a newspaper, or an artist contributed a drawing and never got paid for it. And once it comes to the ethics committee, nobody wants to be publicly, you know, found to have violated our code of ethics. And we've had a pretty good track record of enforcing very high standards for our profession.
Okay, if you're just joining us, our guest today this morning is Bob Cohen, who's the editor emeritus of the St. Louis Jewish Light newspaper, the equivalent of the Detroit Jewish News, except in St. Louis. Let me take a little digress real quick. I really like the name, St. Louis Jewish Light. Tell us about the Jewish Light a little bit.
It is interesting that we are considering that God's first creations of let there be light, that there are so few publications. As a matter of fact, there is something called, in Vermont, there's the Jewish Lights, plural, Publishing Society, and they called us. They were courteous enough to ask our formal permission to do that. The St. Louis Jewish Light was founded in 1947 as basically a house organ of the Jewish publication. It was a campaign vehicle for the annual fundraising drive of our Jewish Federation. And then back in 1963, a group of very forward-thinking individuals on the Public Relations Committee said, let's create an independent corporation, not under the direct control of the Federation, and let's put the word Jewish in it so there's no mistake about what our mission is. And we celebrated last year our 50th anniversary as an autonomous publication. By the way, the Detroit Jewish News, its late and very great dean of our organization, Philip Slomovitz, was the first president of the American Jewish Press Association.
I knew Phil quite well. He was a great guy.
He was truly a great guy. And there was Liz Applebaum wrote for the Detroit Jewish News for many, many years. And I've known her since she went to college. I think she's with the Jewish Community Center now.
Indeed. Yes, indeed. I know Liz quite well also. Okay. So Let's talk about the Rockauer Awards.
Yes.
First of all, who was Seymour Rockauer that he's got an award named after him?
Yeah, there was a businessman based in Philadelphia named Simon Rockauer. He was a very philanthropic-minded individual, and he was friends with the late and esteemed Frank Wendahl, who was the editor of the Philadelphia Jewish Exponent. They were kind of the New York Yankees of the Jewish press. They would publish 200 pages a week and was a very substantial Jewish newspaper. And he wanted to create some kind of an award that would recognize excellence in writing, and it now includes graphic design and so forth. And the original Seymour Rock Hour, after whom the award was named, was a veteran. I think he was died as a very young man. I don't want to say for sure whether he was killed in World War II, but I know he died at a very young age, and his brother wanted to establish this award to keep his memory alive.
Okay, fair enough. So now, what's the criteria? I see there are 22 different categories.
Yes.
Of awards that are awards awarded. That doesn't make. I don't know how to do that anyway.
Yeah, a little redundant.
Yes, awards awarded in 22 different categories. Everything from like the best story to like the best blog. What are the criteria for consideration, and then what determines like the best one out of all those?
Yeah, well, there is an outside panel of judges who are recruited by individual members of the Jewish Press Association in the different cities. I had recruited some professors of journalism at University of Missouri in Columbia, Missouri, has one of the best J schools in the country. We've had people from the Columbia School of Journalism and working journalists from the Daily Press as well who serve as our jury. And there are different categories. That my award this year was for a commentary piece that I wrote on Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel. It was called Hagel the Unready, where I questioned whether he was the right guy for that particular job. And it's based upon the quality of writing, the expressiveness of the piece, and it's also broken down by the circulation of the newspaper. There's one category that goes for newspapers 25,000 and above, and then for the smaller newspapers, because they may not have as deep a staff as the larger ones. So it's an attempt to give more journalists an opportunity to win the various awards.
People have been asking me since the award ceremony is going to be in Washington, D.C., if I'll be able to meet the president about this. And I said, yes, the president of the American Jewish Press Association.
You will. And, you know, one of the reasons we've wanted to have the conventions in Washington, D.C. during an election year is that sometimes we have indeed had the opportunity to be received at the White House by the president. I mentioned that we were there during the Johnson administration, during the Nixon administration. Jimmy Carter received this at the White House, and President Ford received this at the White House. Same was true of President Reagan. So we've had a fairly substantial track record of positive interaction with the candidates in both of the major parties for president.
Wow, that would be awesome.
I hope you'll come and join us.
I am looking forward to it. I've never actually been to Washington, D.C., and
well, you've got to take care of doing something. It's a wonderful city.
Yeah, indeed. And I know my wife is, like, chomping at the bit. We're going to go to D.C. We're going to go to D.C. We're going to go to D.C. And, you know, so and to be involved with such a thing, you know.
Yeah,
so
well, my wife accompanies me. We'd like to meet the two of you, and maybe we can do some touring together.
There you go. There's lots to do. Okay, our guest has been Bob Cohen, who is the editor emeritus of the St. Louis Jewish Light. How long were you editor for the Jewish Light?
For 35 and a half years. I was just 6 months shy of a double high of 36.
Wow.
And I'm very grateful. My joke is that they gave me the title emeritus. I had myself laminated so I don't drool as much. But fortunately, in the current arrangement that I have, I still write half of the editorials. I review live theater. I do book reviews. I do hard news. And writing was my first love. And Larry Levin is our great publisher and CEO. We have a wonderful relationship. And he's very pleased that I was among the honorees this year. And I'm very happy doing what I love and have for the past, since July 1st, 1969 was my first day on the job. And I took it for a couple of year trial period. And I'm still there.
Indeed. Are you native to St. Louis?
I am indeed.
Okay, so it's like if you do what you love, you never work a day in your life.
I often quote that from the Visa commercial, and I think it was also attributed to Confucius. So you and I are very similar.
Indeed. Okay, I want to thank you and wish you continued success, and hopefully we'll catch up to each other in D.C.
I hope so.
We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Do you or someone you know have an addiction to opiates? Ready to take your life back but don't have the time for a long inpatient program? MDS Drug Detox is a team of physicians with extensive experience in the field of rapid drug detox under anesthesia. MDS is the nation's only rapid opiate detox under anesthesia facility with the same doctors, RNs, and certified paramedics attending the entire drug detox process. MDS Drug Detox is safe and effective. Their goal is to provide the best, the safest, and the most economical way to free you from your addiction. MDS uses the highest standards of care and the best FDA-approved medications. MDS Drug Detox understands what your concerns are. Make the call today, 888-637-6968, or go online to www.mdsdrugdetox.com. That's 888-637-6968, MDS Drug Detox. Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. You are listening to the award-winning Jewish Hour, yes. This is, I don't know how long I'm going to say that. I guess when it becomes not novel anymore. But I think, what was that name? The guy who used to do the morning show on WJR, who like did it for like a zillion years. I can't think of the guy's name right now. He passed away and whatever. So his show was always introduced as the award-winning, you know, from high above the, et cetera. So from high above the towers of the, well, we're not high above anything. We're on the first floor over here in this one-story building. But we've got some music for you. We're doing a cappella this week and the next bunch of weeks. And the reason why we're doing that is because Jews are in a state of quasi-mourning. We are M-O-U-R-N-I-G, yes. We are commemorating the death of Rabbi Akiva's yeshiva. Rabbi Akiva was known as the father of the oral tradition. All Jewish law follows the teachings of Rabbi Akiva. He passed away in about the year 137 Common Era and had a yeshiva which numbered over 24,000 students. And they all died except for five in a 33-day period between Passover and Shavuot. So to commemorate this umglick, this horrible occurrence, we'll talk about this more in the upcoming weeks. We'll give a little bits and snippets about it. We do not cut our hair, get married, buy new clothes, eat fruit that we haven't eaten in a bunch of months yet. You know, like if anything comes into the market, like if you brought me a breadfruit right now, I wouldn't be able to eat it until after the holiday of Shavuos. And we don't listen to instrumental music. So for that, we have a cappella music. And there have been some over the years, some very, very good groups that have come up. You know, everybody's going into microphones now. So we've got, for you, this is a new group coming up. This is Shir Sol, and the piece is called Imesh Kachek, which means, if I forget you, Jerusalem, may my tongue cleave to my palate.
See you.
Assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale. Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Got some classic now. This is the last one we played was new, and this one is a little bit already classic. Next one's kind of like middle, so we're getting it all around over here. This is the Maccabees, and this is Mattis Yahu's One Day.
Sometimes I lay under the moon and thank God I'm breathing. And I pray, don't take me soon, 'cause I am here for a reason.
Sometimes in my tears I drown, but I never let it get me down. So when negativity surrounds,
I know someday it'll all turn around, because
all my life I've been waiting for, I've been praying for, for the people to say that we don't want to fight no more. There'll be no more war, and our children will play. One day, one day, one day, one day.
Blood transparent, keep on moving though the water's there raging. In this maze, you can lose your way, your way. It might drive you crazy, but don't let it phase you, no way, no way.
Sometimes in my tears I drown, but I never let it get me down. So when negativity surrounds,
they will all be free and proud to be under the same sun, singing songs of freedom like
oh,
for the people to say that we don't want to fight no more.
our children will play.
Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We're continuing with the musical segment of our show. And again, we're doing it a cappella. And this is, speaking of which, a.k.a. Pella, also known as a cappella. And this is the Benny Friedman song, Yesh Tikva.
Yeah.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Hey, Shulfinman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We are going to be discussing the portion of Behar, which can be found in chapter 25 of the book of Leviticus. Next week, we end the book of Leviticus. Believe it or not, we just started the book of Leviticus. Here is where it's over already. Wow. Anyway, this reading of the book of Leviticus, of the portion of Behar, has significance because pretty much the entire portion deals with the sabbatical year. And this coming Rosh Hashanah, which is less than 6 months away, is a sabbatical year. What's a sabbatical year? You have these doctors, these professors who take a year off and they go do whatever they do. I wish I could take a sabbatical, just take a year off like that. The sabbatical year comes from the word Sabbath. In Hebrew, the word Shemitah. Shamate means to leave over more than to rest. The word Shabbos, which is where the word sabbatical comes from. Shabbos is more like an idea of resting or returning, whereas Shemitah means to leave over. Because what is done is all commercial agriculture ceases. It's probably good for the field. I mean, the Catholic Church during the Middle Ages adopted the three-field system where you rotate your system, where you do two fields and then leave one over and then two fields. But that doesn't require any bit of effort on a person here. The entire country doesn't produce any food. And that requires a tremendous amount of belief in God and faith and trust in the Almighty that you're going to make it through the end of the year. It is manifold the reason why we would have a sabbatical year. First of all, it does allow for regeneration of soil and makes everything grow that much better if you just leave it alone. The land of Israel, it's only celebrated in Israel. Jewish farmers who live outside of Israel do not get the year off. Sorry, you want to take a year off? That's your business, but there's no commandment to it. It's only within the year of Israel, in the area of Israel. It says that the land of Israel needs that rest, that the land of Israel's looked upon in the Bible as a living organism. And just as a person needs to take a day off once a week, the land of Israel, the earth, the dirt of Israel, needs to take a year off, once every 7 years. And it's the same proportion, you might say. We have 7 days, 1 day is a day off. 7 years, 1 year is a year off. So, and it says that if the land of Israel doesn't get its rest, then it will force its rest. We see Isaiah prophesied that the exile, the Babylonian exile, was going to be 70 years long. And of course, you look in the book of Daniel, and there's all different people that, you know, Belshazzar guessed when the 70 years was up, and he made a big party, and he got killed because he made it the wrong time by the writing on the wall, the famous incident over there. And then Ahasuerus, at the beginning of the book of Esther, he made a big party because he thought the 70 years were up, and he won over the Jewish God. And then when Xerxes came around, not Xerxes, when Koresh, Cyrus came around, Dariavish came around, and let the Jewish people go back after 70 years of exile and rebuild the temple. So that was redone. So it says that the number 70, which is also seven, hello, the number 70 was significant because the Jewish people en masse did not keep the sabbatical year for 70 sabbaticals. That means 490 years the Jews did not keep the sabbatical. This to me seems most perplexing, because if you back up from the time of the destruction of the temple which was built by Solomon lasted 410 years. So that would mean that for 60 years before the building of the temple, Jews already were not celebrating or not commemorating, not keeping the sabbatical year. They were planting during the sabbatical year. So that means during the time of the prophet Samuel, the whole time of the king of David, the whole time of the king of Solomon, when the world was like hoo-ha, running at its peak, people were not keeping the sabbatical. Because, and you could say it's understandable, because people will say, it says right here, people are going to say, what are we going to eat? Especially when you come to the end of the seventh sabbatical cycle, you now get to the 50th year. And the 50th year is a jubilee when, guess what happens? You get another year off. So here it is, this person who is a farmer, who requires food and income, doesn't plant in the seventh year, doesn't plant in the eighth year. So that means that into the ninth year, he's still eating produce which was accumulated during the sixth year. That's a lot to ask from a person. Malitz understood that a person should take a day off and have faith in God that if he doesn't work for 15%, which comes out to a little more like 18% of his time, and dedicates it to resting, that God will pay him for the 18%. But that's spread out over a course of a year, once a week. It'd be like if I asked you, could you give me $365 right now? So that might be really hard, rather than if I came to you every single day and asked you for a dollar. If I asked you for a dollar, you'd be able to say, okay, fine, here's a dollar. Okay, and if I did a 365 days, after a year, you would have given me $365. So spread out over the course like that, we understand, okay, 15% of your time happens to be geared to non-productivity. So here we're telling the farmer, we want to give another 18% to non-productivity, except this is going to be an entire year off. This is like the 365 in one shot. So that's kind of tough. And understood that people would have problems dealing with it. But the verse states clearly, God says, what are you worried about? Who's been feeding you for the first 6 years? You know, if God wanted to, he could have made a drought the whole time. You have no produce. There's a famine in the land. People die, and that's it. But God has been supplying you for 6 years, and he'll make it such that the sixth year will sustain you for the seventh year and for the eighth year. And by the time you're eating the fruit from the ninth year, the produce of the ninth year, which is the first year, you're still going to have leftovers from the sixth year. It's like something that always amazes me when it comes to Shabbos food. As tight as my budget always was, we always made food on Shabbos. And we always ate leftovers from Shabbos until Tuesday. Most people, Sunday night. We once had a function in my house on a Sunday night. And we put out some kind of dairy something. You know, Jews don't mix meat and milk. We put out this dairy something. And one of the ladies complained that she had just finished supper on Sunday night because everybody on Sunday night has Shabbos leftovers. There's just so much left over. You prepare all this food on Friday afternoon, and it's enough for Friday, it's enough for Saturday, it's enough for Sunday. It's the same deal. Hashem says, 18%, no big deal for me. I can give you the extra. And it's a real major expression of our faith. So here, what are we doing? We're hitting the farmer. It's an interesting thing about this. It's the other thing. What's the other advantage of keeping the Shemitah, the sabbatical year? In Yiddish, a farmer is called an Erdmensch. Erdmensch means a dirt person, a ground person. That would be the literal translation into English. We're Jews. We don't want people being dirt people. We don't want them to be stuck with their head in the ground. So for a year, what happens is those farmers get, this is where the professors come in. They get that year off. What are professors supposed to do during the sabbatical year? Having worked at Wayne the last 4 years, I know what most professors are doing on sabbatical. They're not getting smarter between you and me. That farmer goes off to some yeshiva, some sort of school of higher learning, and since he's not working anyway, and he sits and he learns for an entire year to get his head into the spiritual. So that now, after spending an entire year, would I love to do that? I don't think, if somebody wants to give me a year, 1 year, all expenses paid vacation, that's what I would like to do. Just to be able to sit and learn the same way like I did when I was a kid in yeshiva, I could think of no better vacation. And what it would do, what I would be able to accomplish, hoo-ha, okay? And I'm working, studying, and learning a whole year round. I don't do that dirt thing. When we bought our house, I told my wife that I have no patience for dirt. Forget it. Maybe sometimes I'll cut the grass, but you know, the weeding and the planting and all that stuff, my wife's really into it. And we would probably win a beautification award in our city if someone would nominate us, because we just couldn't bother with it. But there's really nothing better for a person's head. That's another thing that we're looking at. So now, the lessons here. For those people who do not live in Israel and who are not farmers living in Israel, what are we supposed to do with all of this information? It's all very, very simple. 2 points. Trust in God. How did you get your salary? How are you making your work? It's not by bread alone does man live, but by the word of God's mouth does man live. How much you got till now? It's all because God wanted you to have it. How much are you going to get? However much God wants you to have. You could stand on your head and spit nickels. You know how many nickels you're going to spit? As many as God wants you to spit. Second thing, realize how important spirituality is to our lives and spend some time, a significant amount of time, dedicated to putting your head, getting it out of the dirt and into the clouds. We're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back. Don't go away. Exciting Hasidic story. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Spex Howard from the Spex Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for the Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? The absolute bestest possiblest way to do that, quickest, most efficient, rabbifinman.com, www.rabbifinman.com. What will you find at rabbifinman.com? Well, right on the homepage. Don't have to go anyplace. Don't looking for those, where did he put the contact link? Nope, right there on the homepage. Rabbi Finman, contact us. You contact me, it comes right to my inbox, right on my computer, as I'm in the middle of doing something else. You will get, this letter will perturb me, take me totally off track. I will answer your letter, and everything will be good, and I will try to get back on track to what I was doing. So, yes, I'm available 24/6 to answer questions. What else is on the RabbiFinman.com? Well, we have archived editions of the show. Want to listen to something? How about the way I bantered back and forth with the Council General for the State of Israel last week? Didn't you hear that? Check it out. It's still up there. Shows are up for about a month, maybe a little over 5 weeks. I'm not exactly sure how it works. That's not my department. I have something called a webmaster. You'll also find archived editions of the E-Parsha, U-Parsha, Hasidic U-Story, which are missives into the portion of the week, if it's a story, a calendar coming event coming up, Hasidic story. They're there in different media other than audio because we have the Jewish hour. You don't need me doing another audio. We got video. We have print. It's all there. We like to please everybody. And, of course, we don't repeat anything in any of those. It's not like, oh, I listen to the Jewish hour. I don't have to look at the U-Parsha. I look at the U-Parsha. I don't have to listen to the Jewish hour. Nope. It's all different. We mix it up because variety is the spice of life. And you don't get bored. I hate being bored. I am never bored because I always got too much to do. And of course, you'll find the very important donations page. I'm very pleased to say that when I put out on Facebook that, if you want to follow me on Facebook, that's also good. You can, I have a page, The Jewish Hour. You can go there and you can like that and follow that. When I put out on Facebook that the Jewish Hour won a Rock Hour Award, it was just like, never mind the congratulations, but the letters came in from the PayPal account people that donations started coming in. I guess everybody likes a winner. We have, Baruch Hashem, I want to report, we have half of what we need for May to pay off May. So it's the initial burst. I'm expecting that the excitement's going to go die down until I have to go to November and I start reporting about we're getting the award and certificate suitable for framing, and I'll be congratulated by the president of the American Jewish Press Association. And so we need your help. Last month we did it, I said reported this week, with tens and fives and threes. So if that's what you want to donate, I'm perfectly comfortable with it. The Jewish Hour needs your help. Go to the computer, RabbiFinman.com, donations, click on whatever number you like. If you don't like any of those numbers, there is an infinite amount of numbers to choose from. You could put in any number you like. It's fine. It's all good. And it's all appreciated. And it's all needed. We need your help. Go there right now. Don't delay. Don't like doing internet? I understand. There's a lot of people that are just, you know, I get kind of leery, you know, with all this identity theft stuff and entering credit card information. Okay, I understand. Send your donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. And your donations are greatly appreciated, greatly acknowledged by myself, the listeners of The Jewish Hour, because we're doing this for 18 years. I believe the Almighty appreciates it, too, because it is, after all, it's an act of charity. This is a tzedakah organization recognized by the United States government as a charity 501(c) corporation, and so your donation is tax-deductible. And I believe, not speaking on behalf of the Almighty per se, but I think the Almighty would be pretty happy, too, giving money to the Jewish Hour, keep it going, because this is a worthwhile cause. We got a real talking about causes. We're talking about working today and how much you need to work. The Baal Shem Tov, when he was a young man, didn't have any money. He did have problems. He made money just like doing things like being a what would be in today's world as a bus driver's attendant, meaning he was the guy who rode on the bus with the kids to make sure that the kids were entertained, except they didn't have buses back then. He walked the kids to school. This was like the type of stuff that he did, really menial stuff, water schlepping. Every once in a while, he would get a job. Someone would ask him to slaughter a couple chickens and pay him a couple of bucks, whatever the money was. It got to the point where he was so beside himself. I wrote one of the stories as appears on one of my e-parshas like in the last couple of weeks. That he just cried to God. He said, all I want to do is just, I just want to do mitzvahs. I want to serve you. And Elijah the prophet appeared to him and said, very well founded. Your needs will be taken care of. You do mitzvahs. Okay, and we know that the Baal Shem Tov after that really had no problem with livelihood. It happened shortly after that period of time. He came home on a Friday morning after his morning prayers, and his wife tells him, his wife Rachel, we don't have anything in the house for Shabbos. We have nothing to eat for Shabbos. So what did he do? He went to the house of a rich landowner, wealthy merchant, and he knocked on the window, and he walked away. He got the merchant's attention. He saw who it was. He grabbed some money out of a desk drawer and ran after him. And he said to him, the merchant said to the Baal Shem Tov, he said, I don't understand. If you needed the money, why did you walk away? And if you didn't need the money, why did you knock on my window? Typical Jewish question. So he said, I need the money. And therefore, for me to get money, I have to do something. People have to go to work. Me, it's enough. The Almighty takes care of me. All I have to do is something. All I have to do is knock on the window. After that, it's up to God. He wants to give it to you? That's fine. You get to give me the money then. That's the type of faith that a person needs to have in how they approach their day-to-day work. We want to thank you so much for tuning in. Hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you have a great week. And we hope to see you back again next week. Take care.